You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This episode of Spawned is brought to you by Sunbasket, which delivers delicious meal kits right to your door, making healthy cooking easy and convenient for any busy lifestyle. Go to sunbasket.com/spawn today to learn more and get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/spawn for $35 off. Hello and welcome to Spawned, a common sense and hopefully fun discussion on parenting and parenting culture. Hey, I'm Liz Gumpener.
And I'm Kristen Chase, and we are the co-founders of CoolMomPicks.com. And on today's episode of Spawned, we're talking about couples and husband and wife teams who work together. How do they do it?
Yeah. We have some great guests who are going to be funny and awesome and tell us all about that. And as always, we'll close out our show with our cool picks of the week. So first, let us tell you about our awesome guests.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this right now.
I know.
And I feel like I'm not worthy, but also should have put my dancing shoes on and my singing voice. I see.
Yeah, this is an impressive theatrical couple.
Yes.
So Tor Hyams, besides being a fellow Mamaroneck High School graduate like me, is a Grammy-nominated songwriter. He produced and wrote for Joan Osborne, Michelle Branch, Isaac Hayes, Lisa Loeb. She was on our show.
Yes, she was.
The Rawls, Howie D of Backstreet Boys. He's created and co-founded the Kidzapalooza Festival with Perry Farrell, which is something
awesome.
Our readers know a lot about. And his partner in work and in life is actor, singer, composer, voiceover actor, and veteran theater performer Lisa Rothauser. She cut her teeth in regional productions of Guys and Dolls, Chicago, Once on This Island, and Masterclass opposite Lucy Arnaz. Ooh, I love stories about that. And then she moved to New York City and boom, ended up in The Producers on Broadway. No big deal, Kristen. Just the producers.
NBD.
So they began their partnership by collaborating on Stealing Time, which premiered at the New York Music Festival in 2012. And over time, they've written Mommy Needs for Nickelodeon NickMom.com. They've toured around the country with their one-woman event Life. They've written together at prestigious musical theater workshops in writers' colonies, and they're currently working on a musical adaptation, Kristen, of the classic TV show Green Acres.
Okay, that's amazing.
I know. Plus, they're both parents, and they live in Brooklyn. Oh, my
gosh. Also curious, when do they sleep? We're going to find out.
Lisa, we're so glad you're here.
We're glad to be here.
Yes, very glad.
I'm very excited now. I wasn't as excited, but now I'm very excited.
Well, we were actually planning to sleep right now.
And Chris and I were just saying, we haven't had like a working couple on since Bodhi and Jenna Elfman. So you're in good company.
Yes, we are. That's very good company.
That's right.
So Tor, we went to high school together. So yes. We go way back. We were in Guys and Dolls together. So that gives me a little cred right there.
Big time.
And Lisa,
did Liz play Adelaide?
No, I was like always a hotbox dancer too or something. I was the person who mouthed the words, but was really good in a leotard. And then,
amazing.
And then Lisa, I was just looking at your resume. You were an SFA at Boston University. I went to Boston University.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I did my master's there for opera. That's when I decided I wanted to be an opera singer and then decided I didn't.
Yeah. I didn't go to high school with either of you, but I was a music professor. So
wow.
Can I be part of the club?
Well, you were a professor. You can teach the club.
Well, that's never fun. I want to be in it. Yes. So anyway, I've always wondered about couples that work together. I'm very curious about this, like how it works. And I think a lot of people are too, which is why I'm so glad you're here. So talk to us about how this happened. Like, did you start working together or were you dating and then working together? Like, how did that all come about?
It was really working first because, you know, some people, when they have a midlife crisis, which I think I did, they buy Porsches and all that stuff. I actually wrote a musical. That was my business.
That's very healthy.
Anyway, so I wrote this musical about this performing arts camp I went to as a kid, and it premiered at this festival in New York, and I got an agent out of it, and she said, oh, you should write a whole new series of songs, and, you know, I'll show you to the New York theater community, and they'll love you, and then you'll be huge. And so I started writing this it's kind of a song cycle. And I met Lisa by chance at a kind of a meet and greet of Broadway type people. And then I said, hey, you know, you're a singer. Let me show you some of these to see if you like it. Because I hadn't really showed it to anyone and it felt very special. And I played Lisa this song, which I had some lyrics to and the music to. And she said,
well, I said, it sounds kind of 70s. Maybe we need to do this.
Good relationships are founded on honesty.
And then I was like, if I were to sing that, I would want it to go like this. And I changed the melody around and I will maybe change that lyric too. And then he looked at me and he said, I don't write with singers.
Well. And you know what? As an instrumentalist, there's a good reason why we don't write with singers. People don't write with singers. It's because they come up to you and they're like, okay, my key is like A double sharp. Can you play that? And you're like, there is no such thing as A double sharp.
Yeah,
Thank you.
I tell you, Chris, you're the first person who's ever understood my point of view on that.
Never.
I was Leotard girl. So I'm going to leave this all to Kristen.
Well, I wasn't wrong before I met Lisa, but I was wrong after, because she's really such a talented writer. And my fingers on the piano do have a tendency to go 70s, because, you know, that's my favorite period of music pretty much. So and it got much more modern and much more interesting. And then I said, you know, please write this song cycle with me. And she did. And that turned into Stealing Time, which is, you know, loosely, like as loose as it can be, based on how we met and, you know, what ensued from that point on.
So you didn't just like date and work together. You actually wrote a musical about it. That's very meta.
Yes. Yeah. We did awesome. The whole thing. I mean, if you're going to have a midlife crisis, have it. You know? Go all in.
Have it on stage.
Yeah, that was
that was interesting. But what was really cool about it was it got a really quick and positive response. And anyway, we come a long way since then. And when I say loosely based, there's hardly any of, in a way, us in it anymore. Really what it's about is a woman who is searching for her power again after being in a relationship that has largely diffused her of that power. And the idea of Stealing Time is about rewriting your story and taking the time for you that you might have given away to someone else.
Well, that rings true not just for, I imagine, couples, but also for parents. We've actually talked a lot about this on the podcast too, the idea of reinvention and how a lot of parents give away everything they had to their kids and then all of a sudden are like, oh, who am I again and what am I doing?
Right. It is about reinvention. And one of the things that's interesting about us as a couple, I think, is, you know, this isn't our first time around. This is our second time around. Her kids are her kids. My kids are my kids. And, you know, we don't live together. I rent an apartment from her, actually. That's the truth. And we try really, really hard to, you know, have our time together where we work. And we try to have our time apart where we each have our kids and our families. And, you know, we're trying to find that balance of healthy, which is, you know, the lifelong quest. But what's cool about it is that, you know, I don't have dominion over her kids. Like, they can do whatever. I could think it's wrong, and I largely don't say anything because they're her kids, and same with vice versa with mine. And I think it's interesting what happens, and I'm not recommending people get divorced and then it'll be great.
However.
Yeah, there are perks, though, and that's one of them. You know, when you share kids with somebody, often many, many arguments ensue over how you're parenting those kids. And I don't think we've really had
I
one.
I don't think we've had one argument, actually.
Well, I mean, you're talking to two people that have been unpartnered and repartnered and have children with other people. And so, I mean, I speak for myself. I totally get it.
Yeah,
I
this is a four blended family parent conversation right here.
In fact, I'm looking up an apartment for my husband to rent right now. Pardon me.
Lisa, do you feel like you have to draw the line between personal and work stuff, or does it just kind of come naturally? Because there have been times that my partner and I have actually worked together. Well, we met also working together. He worked on our website. And there were times that we worked together actually on freelance projects, and we got on great, but we would find ourselves sometimes like sitting in bed at 11 at night, like doing work. And it wasn't bad. It didn't hurt the relationship, but also these were short-term projects. You guys worked together kind of full-time all the time. So I'm wondering how you draw those lines and how you create that demarcation so that you have personal time and work time.
I totally understand this well. And I think it shifts depending on what project we're working on. I mean, a musical is a 24-hour a day thing, especially if you spend a lot of time together personally. And it's hard. It really is, because you can't turn it off. You're constantly turning around ideas. You get an idea, you say something, and then it's not just about sitting at a piano for a 4-hour block of time and writing songs and working on lyrics and book. It's not. And we've got 5 projects at any given moment that we're juggling at this point. And it takes forever. It's not like a movie where you shoot it for a few months, you wrap, it's done, and then it's sitting on a shelf or whatever, getting edited, and then it comes back, you go to the Oscars and win a fucking, I said the F word.
Oh, we love the F word. We mark everything explicit.
I'll say it too. Fuck. Now we know we have an explicit rating on this one.
But I think that what I have found, just as a female, the mom of 2 kids, and also being a girlfriend, which is so weird to say after the age of 30, a girlfriend.
I know. I wish we could come up with better terms. I say partner and people think that means Kristen because she's my business partner. Or I say partner and they think I'm a lesbian. It's it sucks. Yeah. We need better words.
We do. We say partner too. And that's the truth. It's really the only thing that is what we do, as you guys know. But I find that I have to work out. I must take care of myself physically because it lends itself to the emotional. I meditate on a daily basis. I study Tibetan Buddhism now. It's my thing. I love it. And I'm constantly trying to evolve that way. And it's a thing I have to do for myself. It's a commitment. If I'm honoring those things, just those 2 little things on a daily basis, I can pretty much take on anything and emotionally deal with most of the obstacles in my way for the day. And also I take time with my kids to just have a meal, just the 3 of us, or we go to maybe Coney Island, just the 3 of us. We have our moments, or we do little short trips together, just the 3 of us, that I know I'm connecting with them on a mom to kid basis. And that makes me feel really good because it is hard to make sure that they're taken care of that way when you're juggling all these things and you're with a partner that, like, our pianos are in 2 different spaces of this situation.
We have 2 pianos, and one's in the back and one's in the house.
That is very indulgent for New York City, by the way. That's like even more than 2 bathrooms. Like, we don't even have 2 bathrooms. You have 2 pianos.
We are committed, okay?
Well, also, the piano is the only thing I kept in my divorce, so I'm
you're sleeping in the piano, let's be honest right now.
I mean, it does pervade, especially like Lisa said, when we're writing musicals. Albums are a little different, but, we'll be at a dinner and our date, and it'll be really romantic, and I'll say, oh my God, I just figured out what Howie should do in that show, that character. He should blah, and it'll just hit you because it's always there. But I think it's as we're trying to make it, because we're still really trying to make it. I mean, we don't have a show on Broadway yet, and that's our intention. As we're trying to make it, we're acting like we're in our 20s and we're really hungry for it. And we do it all the time and we push and push and push and do what has to be done, even though, we're not in our 20s. And it's part of the commitment you make, Chris, and I think you said this, when you reinvent. You have to go for it all over again. I mean, we both had careers. I was very conscious that I was giving that up, and it was worth it because, as I am older, getting older, I realize there's nothing more important than love and heart. And that's all we do is love, heart.
That sounds like your next song.
Now, when you can just back up a little bit, because you talked about always being on, and Liz and I experienced that in a different way because we work on the internet, we work in social media. And so, when we pick up our phone to go on Facebook, it's not really ever just personal. It's always work. We'll see something and we'll say, oh, it's work. We've got to put this up on our website. It happened yesterday, for example. So
last night I was writing at midnight. Yeah, because it's midnight. Like, oh God, I got to get this thing.
Yeah,
up.
You got to get this up. So, similar in that idea where, like you said, you'll be out and you'll have this idea. So I'm wondering, do you have any strict rules, like no work in the bedroom? Are there any things that you stand by, or is it just when it happens, it happens?
Like no phones or no kids when we're working or I don't know.
Turn
like
things
what,
off
what
by
rules
five.
Do you have?
You know, I'd like to say that we have this amazing set of rules that are printed and pasted, magnetized onto the fridge, but maybe we should. We don't. Like we went to the beach once and we just wanted to, we were like, okay, we're taking the day off, we're at the beach. And then we started talking about stuff and, we have to both say to each other, all right, look what we're doing. We need to stop now. Let's take a note in our phone and then we're going to be at the beach.
Well, God, thank God for our phones and that recorder, because if we didn't have that, we would probably get nothing done.
True.
I mean, it's so, I don't know how people did it before the phones with the recording mechanism on it, because we record so many ideas for songs, so many just ideas, period, whether we use them or not, who cares, but we know at least we got it for later. And so I think that particular thing does allow us to have some freedom from working constantly.
It does, but it's funny because when you ask something like, do you guys have rules about, creating separation so you can have this other time? It's occurring to me that I don't really want other time.
Yeah.
I love what we do. I mean, there's nothing more exhilarating or attractive than coming up with an amazing idea even if you throw it out later, it would feel so good. You guys know this. It feels so good in that moment that that's play. You know, work always has this negative connotation because people go into jobs, they sit at cubicles, they type on their computers, and then they go home and they watch TV and want to die. And that's not everybody, of course. But, you guys live a different way. We live a different way. Like, I love every moment of the creativity. And often it's really frustrating and we fight about ideas and this and that. But at the end of the day, you go back and you go, wow, we wrote that. I mean, since we won't ever have babies together, every single one of these things is our baby. Aww, you know, we've had 10, 15 kids at this point. It's beautiful because you get to see these creatures grow.
And we don't have to be Mormon.
But it sounds like the labor is just as challenging, though. Can you talk about the fighting? Because you did mention the fighting. And we know that's, I think that's one where we see the happy things. Like, we see couples all the time. Our friend Emily and Jeffrey at Cupcakes and Cashmere, they work together. Like, we've seen couples that work together, but, you know, it's always the happy.
And I think in the world of Instagram, it's always like, we're perfect. Everything's great. My husband helps me run my business.
Going out on a date night.
So, like, when did you guys think you were going to kill each other? Did you have moments like that? Did you have like, we can't do this anymore moments? Or has it always been pretty smooth?
Yeah, all the time, like every other day.
In fact, you're due for one right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, I already had one this morning. I had my moment, actually. And my go-to is just to get angry and resent the person and blame the other person for whatever I don't like in my moment. But instead, I was like, you know what? I need an hour. I need to sit outside, I need to have coffee, and I need to write my journal. That's what I need before I get mad at you and just lash out like a big old bitch. I'm going to not be a big old bitch. I'm going to change the narrative. And then I did, and I felt much better, and we are able to take a call in pure light and joy with you guys right now because we didn't have a big old fight because of my attitude problem.
You know what? I appreciate your honesty with that.
How does it play out?
Yeah.
I'm just curious just how it is when you collaborate on something that's you're producing or creating together. Like, are you able to give each other criticisms without freaking out, or do you still freak out and just come back to it? Like, that to me would be the most challenging, especially because this is like you said, it's a baby. And so you're like, this melody is awesome. And then she's like, no, you know, that is so personal. It's not necessarily like a PowerPoint.
No.
You know, it's like so personal to you.
It is personal, but you know, look, we're getting better at it every day. We're not in the zen of it yet, but I think we're pretty good with it now. Often, like, we say things like, I'm not sure I'm feeling that as much as you are. I had this other thing in mind. Or we just, you know, most of the time, even if I think if one of us doesn't agree with the other about an idea, about writing or melody or whatever it is, we kind of allow ourselves to go down the road for the benefit of that person's notion, right? So we say, okay, I don't like that. I don't think, but let's go down the road. Let's see where that leads us. Because often, in fact, 100% of the time, it leads to something good. It may not be at all what the person proposed, but it kind of evolves, you know? And I think we have to constantly remind ourselves that the best idea is coming, and it probably is going to be a combination of both of our ideas.
I think that's great. You know, it's funny, my boyfriend, or grown-up male romantic partner, Lisa, we have to come up with a better word. We were having a conversation about that last night and about assuming value and mutual respect, and how that it's kind of in the same in a relationship as in a work relationship. And the times that we've worked together, it's worked really well because, first of all, I think we're both secure enough to know that good ideas can come from anywhere and there's no need to like take credit. The other thing is, and you always hear about this being part of a successful relationship, is it's important to give credit throughout your relationship to say like, hey, thanks for doing this, or I acknowledge that you did this, or I saw you picked up the groceries when I didn't even ask you. That's awesome. Like, just giving credit throughout your relationship is good, and especially in work. And then we also talked about how there's kind of an assumption of value, which I think is so important in any working relationship. And sometimes that stuff, that kind of politeness or that courtesy, more than politeness, goes away when you are, you know, best friends, or when you're, you know, in a romantic relationship, or when it's a sibling, when it's someone really close to you. And so one thing we found is when we work together, like, not going, oh, that's stupid, you know, like, but being, and maybe that works for you guys. I don't know if you tell each other that's stupid, but we realize that, you know, just being positive with each other and not even like trying hard. It just kind of came naturally, being like, oh, that's great. Or you know, using the old improv trick of yes and.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's good. Oh, what if we do this to it, though? You know, then we would get to a good place and still preserve the relationship.
You know, it's, that's, you make a good point. I'll at least talk about this. But, you know, early on, because obviously I'm the piano player of the two of us. And so everyone automatically assumes Lisa's the lyricist and I'm the composer. That's not true. We're both everything. But it was interesting because I remember Lisa saying to me at some point, since this is now turning into a therapy session, I remember her saying, you know, I feel like you're kind of doing everything. And it really took me back because I felt like she was doing everything.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, Lisa, you can talk about how that came about if you want, but you know.
Well, I mean, I think this is getting into a therapy session because I don't want to go into like my past and my mom and how I grew up.
Oh, welcome. We're all here. And we all have mommy issues.
Everyone has
baggage. Yeah, that should be your next podcast, mommy issues. Yeah. Pull mom pick, mommy issues. You know, that's partly how I got lost in my marriage and the kind of man I married, that, you know, whatever, all that shit's in the past. But I think that I have learned to own my participation and own my value and own my contribution to what it is that we do, especially with the writing, I mean, and the ideas. It's one thing to be able to be a writer, and it's one thing to be able to take an existing work and adapt something that someone else wrote. But it's another thing to literally have a creativity inside of you that comes out and it's completely and utterly original, and it only can come from you and what you've experienced in your life, and own that. And I think that I was very quick to always give everybody else credit and everybody else the power, but I don't do that anymore. And I think that comes with meeting your match in the person that you're with, whether it's just relationship, romantic relationship, or it's just professional, or but whatever you're surrounding your life with the people you surround your life with, you got to be bettering you. And I'm finding that with Tor, I have finally become all that I was meant to be. And that says a lot. It says a lot about the man that he is. It says a lot about the person that I'm taking a risk to evolve into. And that's not just for me, it's for my kids. You know, I'm raising two boys that will then become men and choose either men or women to be with for the rest of their lives and treat them a certain way. And that's why I'm not in the relationship I was in anymore. And this is what they get to see. They get to see love, joy, music, fun, you know, uplifting light and joy and happiness in a home when we're all together, whenever that happens. And that's all I can say about what we do. I love what we do. And it's hard. It's hard as hell.
Oh,
and here's another thing, you know, you know this too, is when you have somebody you love and you trust and you feel like you can be honest with, you can also find yourself being too honest. You say things that are mean because you can, and it's not cool, but it does happen. And I think sometimes we take for granted, and mostly in the booth, mostly when I'm singing in the booth and Tor is like producing on the other side of the booth. Uh-huh. And we, like a few weeks ago, we had a thing where he said something to me and I think I was premenstrual. In fact, I know I was because I literally started my period like 3 hours later, and he said something to me and it just hit me so wrong. And I got so hurt by how he said something, and it was nothing. Like, if I was in a professional situation without him, I would not have taken it this way. He said something, I got so hurt and mad, I threw down $150 pair of headphones on the ground, stomped out, slammed the door, and went for a walk for an hour. And I was like, wow, that was a big old childish tantrum I just threw. And I came back and I was like, oh, I just started my period. No wonder I was such a crazy person. And those things happen. But, you know, he can say things and I can say things. And I think that is a challenge when you work together because the lines are blurred and that's just part of it.
And then after something like that, are you able to like talk it out and then jump back into work? Or do you feel like you need time then and you need separation?
It depends.
Well, it's weird because we usually have similar period cycles. So.
I know. We're all synced up.
No, I mean, it does depend. In that case, yeah, we had a good talk. Maybe it didn't start out good, but it ended good. And, you know, we said, okay, we're both being babies. We got to get back to effing work here because we're adults and we have to show this to people. So let's go.
That's, to me, like being able to move on, right? Like that's the other thing I feel like when you're with the right person or you're doing, I don't know. I think that's just a sign of age, right? It's like you can have the blow ups. Like I get so hard on myself. Liz knows this too. Like so hard on myself. But the thing is, it's what you do next. It's like, okay, I recovered. I'm good. Let's go. I apologize. I was an asshole. Like let's move on.
But that's not just age. I would give yourself more credit for that. I think that's also really, it's maturity. It's self-actualization. It's like learning learning how to like process and deal with your own shit so that you can come to a relationship in a healthy way.
Well, I was going to say it can't be age because Lisa and I are 22 and 23. So
I know. Well, I'm only 14, so we're all good. All right. So listen, we have to talk about your new thing because I am so excited about this. Like, how did this happen?
Green Acres. I'm like such a classic TV show fan that I am so excited about this. So you have to just tell us a little bit about this.
Well, you know, it's funny because the producers hired a whole different team originally. And I knew one of the producers. She had come to see us perform at some point. And I had been pitching her that we should really be the ones writing this. Because, you know, when you know something is so in your sensibility, in your wheelhouse, you have to do it. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, but we went with these people and they're really, you know, well-known and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, yeah, but we're right for it. She goes, well, they're working on it now. Sorry. But anyway, a couple of years went by, actually. And I checked.
Because that's how long musicals take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I checked in with her and I said, how's Green Acres going? And she goes, well, it could be better. And I said, oh. And then it kind of got wind that maybe they were going to make a move. And right at that same time, Lisa and I were doing a concert at 54 Below. It was actually called The Songs of Tor and Lisa. It was kind of a collection of all our shows. And we had a lot of fancy Broadway singers do it. I invited the producer of Green Acres and I said, I really want you to come see the show because I think you're going to see our material is exactly right for your show. She came and she came up to us right after and she goes, I can't believe I didn't hire you guys in the first place.
Oh, wow.
I said, it's never too late to reinvent yourself and hire us now. And she goes, well, let's see what's going to happen. It took several months, but they ended up actually getting rid of the other writers.
Damn.
And they took some baby steps with us. Like, we basically gave a pitch, and they said, okay, we like the pitch. We'll pay you to write an outline. We wrote an outline, very detailed. And then they said, okay, we want to bring you on. And what was funny was we thought we were just going to do music and lyrics, just the songs. And they said, no. We like your idea. We want you guys to write the book. And you're so funny. You can just do it all. And we said, okay, great. And also, of course, that's more money, so that's good, too. And we took the whole thing on, and it's become really special. I mean, it's not, you know, the Green Acres your parents watched. It really, it's a new thing. It's updated. The wife, I don't know if you guys are familiar or not, but...
Oh, yeah. The chores. The stores. Fresh air. Times Square.
All right, there you go.
So you need to hire me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be your leotard girl, but I can write.
Perfect. That's all we need. You know, so, but we've updated it. So still, Oliver Wendell Douglas is still a Caucasian lawyer. But his wife is a Cuban immigrant, kind of like a Sofia Vergara type, you know, even though
you're
she's not Cuban.
Hint, Sofia Vergara, if you're listening.
We don't care if you can sing.
Yeah, we don't care if you can sing. Well, we'll rewrite her songs and she'll be on it. In any case, so we really updated it and the jokes are modern and it's still hilarious. It's just maybe less slapstick and, you know, more kind of modern comedy, I would say.
I think that's great. It's like what they've done with One Day at a Time. Like there's so many amazing older shows and series out there that are just ready for updating. And I think this sounds great. I have like a Broadway obsessed kid, so I will be demanding, you know, front row tickets on opening night, just so you know.
Well, of course.
All right.
Yeah, right next to my mom.
So Tor and Lisa, let our listeners know where they can find you to learn more about Green Acres and your other work and follow you. You must be all over social media.
Well, we're trying to get better with it. We did this thing called Shopping with Lisa that really caught on and we haven't done it in a while, but with everything we've ever done, the thing we most get asked is, when are you going to do another Shopping with Lisa episode? So that's on our Instagram, which is Tor and Lisa. Our Twitter is Tor and Lisa. Our website is www.torandlisa.com.
This is good, consistent branding. Torandlisa.com.
Well, that means a lot coming from you guys. but yeah, we're all over the social media in a sense, but we really want to get better with it.
Yeah, Liz, I think I might need to talk to you.
Yeah, we might need to talk
to you. No problem. We'll have some drinks. We'll discuss blended families and social media.
Yes.
But hey, you guys are going to stick around for cool picks of the week, right?
Yes, we got some.
Awesome. So we'll have four of them right after this.
So Liz, it's summer,
Kristen.
And I am super not excited about cooking dinner, which is why I'm so glad we are welcoming back our sponsor, Sunbasket.
Okay, here's what's crazy. So first of all, hopefully our listeners already know who they are.
Yes.
They send organic produce and clean ingredients right to your door so that you have ready-made meal kits to make cooking dinner for your family so much easier. And Thalia, who, you know, doesn't like a whole lot of foods.
This is my true. Daughter, yes.
She said to me this week, she goes, Mom, when are we getting that Moroccan chicken back again?
What?
I have like literally never heard her ask
that
for anything
is
a second time. Yep. All owed to Sunbasket. So this is good stuff, you guys, even for picky kids.
Yeah. I mean, I love that it's organic produce. And, you know, this these guys in particular, right, they've got paleo, gluten-free, which is me, lean and clean, vegan, Mediterranean, and lots of family options. And I love that they work with the best farms and suppliers so that you get really fresh organic produce, responsibly raised meats and seafood. And we've both tried them, and I can attest to this. I've opened the boxes. I've eaten the food. It is super fresh.
It is. It's so fresh, you actually have to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't leave
it in your
fridge.
If you leave the organic lemon accidentally in your fridge for a week, it won't be good because it's organic, which also, by the way, helps you realize how much crap they're spraying on your produce at the grocery store because non-organic lemons don't go bad in like 4 days. So this is like the real deal. You really feel good and clean eating it. And I feel kind of good like cooking for my family, which, you know, I tend to lean on the takeout a little too much.
Yeah, well, this is a good in between. And you know what? Over on our Recipe Rescue Facebook group, there was a wonderful member who just was very honest and was like, I am so tired of being the one who's shopping, being the one who's cooking all the time. And, you know, a lot of people were like, Sunbasket, like get something that gets sent to your door. It's so easy. It only takes 30 minutes. And like, it gives you a break, but then you don't have to feel guilty about the stuff that you're putting on the table for your family.
No, it's good. Like, you're really cooking. This is not just like an add an egg to the brownie mix kind of thing. Like, you are cooking and they're giving you the recipes, but it makes it so easy. It's nice not to have to like run out to some specialty store in Queens to find like the one special turmeric that's needed for like one recipe.
No.
So I like that they measure everything out for you. They make it easy. The food really is super delicious. The meats, if you're getting those, and chicken is like really fresh and really good.
Well, clearly, Thalia has very picky taste in meat, so I'm impressed that she
I never thought in a million years she would eat a chicken that was not nuggeted. So I owe that to Sunbasket.
Listeners, you can get a great deal right now. If you go to sunbasket.com/spawned, you can learn more about Sunbasket, but you can also get $35 off your first order. That's pretty amazing. So go to sunbasket.com/spawned, save $35, and make your family happy and give yourselves a break. Yay!
sunbasket.com/spawned. $35 off.
Okay, well, now it's time for our
Cool Picks of the Week. Cool Picks of the Week.
And our guests always get to go first. I can't
Lisa,
wait to hear
how
these.
About you?
So, Lisa, what do you got?
Okay, recently, I know this is a little crazy, but as all moms know, there's not enough time in the day. And I really, really, really hate getting ready. Like, you know, the whole process of taking a shower and like blowing your hair out and putting makeup on. So, okay. I always try to cut corners where I can. And I found this shit at Sephora. It's by Christian Dior. It's called Air Flash. It's a spray-on foundation. It's like a...
What?
It just sprayed on your face.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. It's so awesome.
We're trying that, like tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little pricier than, like, a CoverGirl. But for me, I love it because it saves me so much time. And you're, like, an instant model.
So is it, like, an airbrush kind of effect?
It's got an airbrush effect to it. And it's really light because, as we know, when we get older, you don't want anything heavy on those wrinkles or you look like Tales from the Crypt.
High praise. Do not look like Tales from the Crypt. Try Christian Dior Air Flash.
Oh, mom hack plus cool mom pick.
That's great. That's a great pick. We know our listeners love beauty picks. So we will be sure to link that up on Cool Mom Picks on our podcast page. Tor, how about you? What's your cool pick?
Well, my cool pick has the word beauty in it, but it's not a beauty product. Although I completely applaud these spray on, whatever the hell you called it. Anyway, my pick is a movie, actually, and it came out a couple of years ago, but I think it's one of the most special movies ever made. It's called Collateral Beauty.
You know, I've seen that and wondered about it. So now, if you're recommending it, now I'm going to watch it. I'm that kind of person. I need, like, personal recommendations.
Well, this is it. You have to get that because the press on it was bad because most of the press, I don't think, watched it, and I think they thought Will Smith was just trying to get his Oscar.
But this was a serious cast. It's like Will Smith, Edward Norton, Kate Winslet, Keira Knightley.
That's right. And we recently become friendly with the screenwriter. His name is Alan Loeb, who is one of the best writers I've ever read in my life, period, whether it be novels, TV, movies, whatever. And he has such a special way that he constructed this film. And if anyone's looking for a good cry or just to be hopeful, or just to become enlightened, just, then this is the movie, Collateral Beauty, has the word beauty in it. And that, why do I feel like we just segued into an episode of The View?
It would be you on that show. Would you be Whoopi?
I'd be the token man.
That's a good pick. Well, we're going to find out where that's streaming so that our listeners can catch it. And we'll put that on our podcast page at coolmompics.com. Also, Kristen, yes. How about you? What's your
I've got a good one. So, you know, a certain someone was wearing a certain jacket yesterday.
An olive-colored bomber jacket?
An olive-colored jacket with some words on the back. And
words? What kind of words?
Some ridiculous words. I don't really care, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting words for our time.
But they don't mean anything, Liz. They don't mean anything. No. Guys, they just didn't mean anything. So anyway.
I just pulled this $39 jacket out of my designer closet
right.
for no reason.
So we love when people are so creative and clever and super fast when it comes to this stuff. And one such person created a shirt that looks like the jacket. And it says, I really care. Do you?
Yay,
and
boss.
All of the proceeds are going to go to the organization RAICES, that's R-A-I-C-E-S, which supports refugee and immigrant services. And it's fantastic. This Etsy shop is Two String Jane. I ordered one for myself. They even have a bomber jacket, too, if you really want to get into it.
They do, but as we mentioned, you probably don't need a bomber jacket in June in D.C. or Texas. But, you know, you can always get it for the fall.
Yes. That's true. So anyway, that's my pick. I really care. Do you t-shirt on Etsy. Go get it. Support a great cause. So Liz, what
and
about
that's
you?
On our site as
yes,
well.
Yes, all of this
okay,
will be.
Okay, so my cool pick this week are people.
People?
My cool pick this week is the couple David and Charlotte Wilner. Do you know those names?
I do.
They're a couple that started the record-breaking fundraiser on Facebook to help families separated at the border.
What's it at right now? Is it at like 20 million or something?
Yeah, they started, for those of you who don't know the story, they just put out to their friends and family a public Facebook post saying, hey, we want to raise $1,500 to be able to give one person a bond so that they can, you know, get out of jail and go claim their kids, because that's one of the biggest challenges with separation of immigrants is not being able to afford the bond to get out of detention. And so they look to raise $1,500. And as of today, Friday, they are past the 16 million mark.
Whoa!
16 million! Million! Wow. I know. And that's how many people in this country give a crap about what's going on right now on the border. And so my cool pick is also all of the generous spirits in America, all the good people. We always say look for the helpers when you're feeling distraught. And there are a lot of helpers, 16 million worth right now, led by Dave and Charlotte Wilner. You can find that Facebook fundraiser if you want to help. Like, literally just Google Facebook fundraiser record breaker and you'll find it, or you can find it on their Facebook page. But that's my cool pick of the week. Amen. Never forget that one person or one couple can make a difference.
Aww.
All right. Well, listen, how fun was this? Tor and Lisa, I feel like we need to have you guys over and just do, like, because when I go over to Liz's house, we just do musicals, right, Liz? Like, I basically just sing with children.
Yeah, with my kid. My kids always say, Kristen, we like you better than mom. And then they all sing together. That's pretty much our weekend.
I want to do that so bad. But I also think that the four of us may consider a televised talk show.
We're in. And listen, we know you're like the pitch master and you're going to go out and pitch that right now. So you just follow up with us.
I've already sent an email. I've copyrighted it and trademarked. Let's go.
You guys were so great.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thanks, you guys.
You guys awesome.
That was awesome.
Yes. Liz, how fun was that?
That was so fun. We need to have more couples on, I think. Like, we need to recruit more
fun
couples for
calling
Spawn.
All fun couples for Spawn. And, of course, huge thanks to our engineer, John Bowen. And listen, we love hearing from you. You can leave us a review on iTunes. Just make sure to subscribe. You can drop us an email, spawn@coolmompics.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere. And hey, be sure to download our episodes. It really helps us. It helps other people find us. It helps our advertisers. It just helps the world. And don't you want to help the world?
Help
you.
The world. You know you do. Well, thanks for listening to Spawn. This is Kristen.
And this is Liz. Have a great day.
Bye.